your packages just wanted to see America before it got to you, you know?
And I'm thinking, okay, it took 10 days to get here. Like, I get it. The thing weighs 7 ounces, but it still takes energy in the form of petroleum that must be drilled in a foreign country that gets shipped over here, and we fight wars to get this petroleum, and you're squandering it and sending my package all across Hell's Half Acre.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Ted, I think this might be the last episode of the year, seeing as it's Christmas next week, and it's episode 143 of the Trailer Junkies podcast.
Good riddance to 2020, please.
This has been one of those like crazy years, and I'm looking forward to one of our trailers tonight because I think it's a trailer for a new beginning for a new year.
It's like a New Year's resolution in a trailer.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily know if the movie guys will talk about when we get there, but I don't know if they had that idea that 2020 was going to play out the way it did when they started their endeavor, but we can get to that. Before we do, and before we get to our week and all that stuff, I have a little bit of a tall beer. What do you have tonight?
I have, so I went to my Valley Beverage Company. I went there this
week. Yeah, the new favorite.
My new fave.
Did it unseat? What's the Burbank one?
The Burbank is the Handy Market.
Handy Market. Did it unseat Handy Market?
The Handy Market, it has an amazing beer selection for a grocery store, but it's a grocery store.
Okay, okay.
The Valley Beverage Brewing Company has hundreds of beers from the past 10 years.
So it's like insanity when it comes to beer.
Yeah, it's just amazing. And as I walked out of there, I walked out with this case of beer, you know? And like, I've walked out of many a grocery store with a case of beer.
$287 later.
I have never spent so much money on one case of beer. And I was like, typically you black out from drinking the beer. But when I got in the car, I was dazed because I was like, oh my God. If Ann sees that on the receipt, if she like logs into our bank account and says sees that,
it's all over. I was just like, the podcast is over.
I'll be like, baby, it was for the pod and all the gifts for the. It's all gifts, baby. It's all gifts.
Episode 144 is our last episode. It'll be happening in the near future.
So I was stacking up some nice beers on the counter to take away.
Nice.
And then I went back and the guy who owns the place or the manager, I don't know which, he was in there and he was walking by. I was like, what's your cheapest, best IPA? Give me
cheapest, best IPA.
I said, just something, something under $10, please. Just give me an IPA. And he goes, all right, well, this Lucky Luke Brewing Desert Sun Double IPA, is very popular, he said.
And how big is it?
It's a 16-ouncer. It's a tall boy.
Okay, you know, 16-ounce, like, yeah.
And it's 8.7 ABV, and it was $3.99. So I was like, oh, thank God. just tack that onto the big box, and then in the new year, you and I will be enjoying some of those with your – well, I gave away a little bit of your present, but I didn't tell you what they were, a couple of them. But here, so I'll pop this Lucky Luke. How about you? Yeah.
All right. So while you're doing that, I have an M Special All-Time Saison Farmhouse Ale. And M Special's out of Goleta, California. So they're more or less local. I mean, they're just right down the 101, 40-minute drive from here or something. 6.5%. And I figure you've been hating on some Belgians lately. And a Saison is pretty similar to, you know, a Belgian, a Northern France.
Yeah, but it's a farmhouse ale, right? The Saison.
Yeah, a farmhouse ale, exactly.
I don't mind Saisons.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, continuing with the beer talk, So at the back room, you know, we've talked about the back room.
Yeah.
We've been to the back room. They're out of solving. And the back room is where I get, well, I should say Valley Brewers is where I get my brewing stuff. And the back room is the little speakeasy thing they have. And they had their speakeasy go through the bookcase to get to the back and all that kind of stuff. And what Sandy had in mind just recently was she's going to make it this private club, like a real speakeasy.
Nice.
And all the tourism that comes through Solvang and everything, it was just so much of a hassle and so many jerks and so much policing that they had to do. She closed it off to all that,
wow.
You know, and so they made it private. They made it club membership. You have to
subscription only.
Subscription. Yeah, you have to buy in and all this stuff. So I get an email 10 o'clock last night, $300 for the founders.
Ooh.
You know, for the year, right? As a founding member.
What do you get? What do you get?
You get 10% off.
What's in the package?
Of
the founder?
Any beer.
Okay.
Bottle, can, or tap. You get two beers on your birthday. You get to bring yourself and three others.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be the same three. It could be just three of anybody, but just you and three others. You get an app on your phone. When you walk in, you could just open up the app and it just hit the button and the door opens.
Okay. Nice.
So yeah, that's kind that's of a cool thing. Like a modern day speakeasy, right? And I think that's it. And then I said, man, it's like right before bed I get this,
yeah.
You know? And I'm like, man, I don't want to make a decision on spending $300 for a year of like, beer, you know what I mean?
I almost spent that walking out with this case, man. Come on.
No. I understand. I only like half read it. I didn't see everything that was there.
Right. Oh, it was the end of offer.
I'm like literally shutting down the computer as the email comes across. I'm like, you know what? I'll read it in the morning.
Okay.
The morning comes around. It's like 7 in the morning, and I check it out. I see what it is. I'm like, you know, whatever. I get my wallet. I get it. I get an email at 6 o'clock tonight. The founders is sold out. We had such an overwhelming response that we're into the second tier.
Okay.
By 9 o'clock, I get an email. The second tier is sold out.
What was the second tier? $500? Or does it go up or down?
No, it was the same price, but you got like half the stuff.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's right. You also, on the founding one, the founders get a medallion with your like your name, and I don't even know what's on it. There's like a whole package that you get, you know? Like,
so after we get herd immunity and we can come back to see you guys, and then Frank and Barbara can come up. So it's you, Clarissa, Frank, me. Barbara and Ann don't count because they don't drink beer.
They can hang out with the kids and like read books or something. I don't know what they're going to do. But yes, we could go.
I got the countdown. You and three others. So family of four. Drinking family of four.
Yes. 10% off all the tap. And then if you're not a member, but let's say you show up,
right,
then it's $5 cover and you pay full price,
right,
you know, per head. So, but yeah, we get in $10 off on anything. Or I'm sorry, 10% off on anything you get. And yeah, that's pretty much it. But I thought, you know, just like you were saying, you get all these amazing beers and like some of the best beers I get in the area is there because some of the stuff they have is just so outrageous.
Right.
That I thought, you know what? And I looked at what I spent last year. I spent about, you know, $500 there.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, that's $50. That's $50 in the 10% off fee. And then I thought, you know, $50, so it really would cost us $250. Okay, so you spend $250. And then I thought, you know, you're supporting a small business.
Local business. Can't go wrong with that. You know the people that run it. So, I mean,
well, yeah, you walk in and it's like, you know, it's like you go where people know your name, right? Like in Cheers. That's how it is.
Yeah.
And then it's one of those things too, where you're supporting a local business, a small business. It's an experience and the type of beer you can't get anywhere else. The liquor store doesn't have what they carry and stuff. I mean, they have such unique items.
Right.
And I thought, you know what, even if it's like $250, $300, whatever, and it, like whatever.
Yeah.
It keeps them going.
Keeps them going.
If they go away, yeah, if they go away, then where do I get my grain and all that for brewing, you know? And
right. Do you get 10% off of that stuff? No, not that stuff.
No, because they have two different storefronts.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So there's times when I go to get my grain and I go to get my hops and all that to brew, and then I'll buy some beers. And they ring me up separately because they're under two different tickets for two different licenses,
business licenses.
So they do run separate in that regard, you know, which is fine, you know, but I mean, whatever, however they want to run it. But yeah, I figure $300, whatever. I don't care. It's worth it. You know, it's worth it. So
how's the beer?
Oh, the beer's good. It's really smooth, light, flavorful, effervescent. Like it's it has that Belgian-y like flair to it. But it's super light. It's not, you know, I know you kind of rip on Belgians every once in a while, but like, it's like a Belgian toned down by half.
I don't know what it is about Belgians that I don't like. I think
the coriander.
No, I don't mind
They do have that flavor to them.
Yeah, I don't mind the coriander.
This has a coriander flavor.
I think there's a different kind of pucker to a Belgian than the typical beer.
Oh, I get you. I get you.
Like it's just a little off for me. Anyway.
So I was going to say for $3.99.
Lucky Luke.
Imperial IPA. How is it?
A double. Yeah, Imperial, right? Imperial, double, same thing. Same deal. This is the American version because we're Lucky Luke Brewing out of where? Where are they out of? Let me see. It's called Desert Sun, right?
Lucky Luke.
They are out of Palmdale, California. So right close by.
That's sorta local.
It's close by.
That's sorta local. Circle.
Circle.
I don't know. Oh wow, really clean.
It's a clear IPA.
Wow.
Right? And then I thought it was a little.
That
too,
looks like a Budweiser.
It looked
it's
a
so
little
clean.
Too light, a little too yellow, and I was like a little worried about it. But you know, you lift it to your face, and you get that first.
Dude, this one's the same way.
Yeah, but on a saison, you kind of expect the gentleness of the tiny bubbles and stuff like this. This had a head just like a Budweiser, and I was like, ugh. But then as the head started to dissipate, you know, it released that double hoppiness of a double IPA, and it is really, really good.
Tiny bubbles.
For yours, not for mine.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, like, you figured out what we got the boys for Christmas.
Uh-oh. What's that?
Ukulele.
What? What?
Ukuleles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we got them some ukuleles.
Did you get yourself some earplugs?
No, but I wanted to get a harmonica. No, you know, we'll see how it goes. I don't know. I mean, if it's that annoying, it was that or a drum kit, I figured ukulele is probably better.
Yeah, yeah.
So you like it, though, the beer. It's really good.
Oh, the beer's good. The beer's really good. And he had about three suggestions, and I should have picked up all three, but I was in a little sticker shock mode. I was like, I'm just picking up the one beer, and then I'm going to hold the other beers for the next time we podcast in 2021.
You know what's so funny, though? Sometimes I'll buy some, like, you know, I'll get, like,
yeah,
whatever, like, six beers, and I'll be like, oh, I got the next 6 weeks covered. And then they're staring at you in the fridge. You're like, I so want to drink it, but I can't.
Right.
Because, like, I paid $10 a beer. You know? Like,
Save it for the pod.
Oh, you have to, because it's like, you can't. Like, these aren't just like, it's Monday. I want like a beer after work.
Right.
This is like, this is $10. Yeah. I got to, like, save this for the pod. So how's your week?
My week was good.
Other than spending a lot of money at the liquor store.
Other than spending a lot of money on beers. So it was a good week. I was thinking about Robert Downey Jr. this week because we were actually selling soap in the valley. We literally were
literally selling soap
at the church. Ann made some handmade soap to donate to the church and then to offer at the church
the handmade
donation.
Soap, yeah.
So we were doing that last weekend and we're going to be doing it again this weekend. So
here's the question. And I've been thinking about, like, because of one of the trailers we're going to get to, The Minimalist, we'll get to that. But, and when you think about stuff and gifts and all that,
right.
And I've been thinking, when you give somebody a gift, there's two people involved, the receiver and the giver. And when you give a gift, oftentimes the gift is more telling about the giver than the receiver.
Yes, that is true.
Right? So you're going to give somebody a book, for example, and whatever the book you want to give them, you know, I don't know. The book has a message to it.
Right.
And is the message more what you want to, you think the people need to hear, or what you want to impart on them?
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be a give and take. It's got to be a balance of your relationship, right? It has to be some hopefully emblematic of what they want to hear and what you want to say to them, you know?
But what does that say when you're giving soap? What is the message portrayed? Like, you stink, you need soap. I am sensitive to your smell. I'm handing you. Like, I don't, what does that even tell you?
I mean, yeah. So if you were to go out and buy somebody like a crate of Irish Springs at Costco or something, I think that's a different message.
A very odoriferous, right.
But I think our little handmade lavender soaps with handpicked lavender from Ojai.
Look at you guys.
We went and picked pre-COVID times.
I think you need to grow lavender in the yard.
Yeah, we had thought about doing that. We got some seeds and we were trying to do that. And
yeah. I spread a ton of seed out in our backyard, so we'll see what I get when the rains, if and when they come.
They're supposed to happen by now already, I think, right? They should have started already.
Yeah, I think it's an La Nina year, which La Nina means it's a dry year, I think.
The winds are crazy.
Oh, the wind has been ridiculous.
So wrapped up the kids' school week this week, planning for our trip to Los Gatos. So we're going to do that between Christmas.
Oh, you're going to do that again?
Yeah, we're going to do that between Christmas and New Year's.
That's cool. Yeah, I know you guys go every year.
Yeah, we try to go every year. And then this week, what else do we do? Watch a couple movies and a couple things. We'll get to that at the end. And then, what about you? What's your week?
My mom sent us this huge box of like various Christmas cookies she made and, you know, and sent us. And, you know, they're all stacked up on the counter. And like every time you have one, you're just thinking like, I could eat five more. And like as you're working your way around the house, you know, you're just like, not working your way, but like as you're just
going,
maneuvering right, your body right, through the right. house, like out of the corner of your eye, you're just looking there. You're just like, I can have another cookie. And it's like the cookies, man, are just like
calling your name.
I'm just thinking to myself, that's the last thing we all need are like, you know, pounds of cookies that she sent. And Claire's like, what are we going to do with them all? I'm like, let's freeze them because we can't eat all these before. If we eat all these, you know, like it's just going to like kill us. We're going to be diabetic. And then I have a funny story. So we have this elf on the shelf thing, right?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So, you know, we had the elf and we have fishing line holding up snowflakes and whatever, you know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the elf going to bed last night, I put some safety pins through his feet and he's hanging upside down. Like he's kind of doing like a zip line down okay. things, but with his feet. Right. So sometimes during the day, I'll stop home before I go pick him up and I'll move him around and then I'll hop back on the bike. I'll go pick him up.
Right.
And then they come home. He's like, oh my God, the elf moved. Well, today he didn't move.
Uh-huh.
So the boys were a little disappointed. I said, let's go. But this is by plan. See? So I said, let's go in the backyard. Let's play for a little bit. You know, you guys been like doing school. Today was the last day for winter break,
nice.
You know, and I'm throwing the ball for Jake and he's playing fetch and Mikey has on his Star Wars or his stormtrooper costume
right.
and Tim's digging the holes in the whatever he's doing with a shovel. And I get him to the point they're completely distracted and I make a beeline for the house. I slam the drape shut because the tree faces the big picture window in the backyard.
Right.
I slam the drape shut so they don't see me. I unhook the elf really quick. I've put the safety pin through his hands. I put it up on the thing so he's on the other side. I slam open the drapes. I make a beeline outside, and I'm just throwing the ball again for Jake. Like, I never left. The boys don't see that I left. Mikey comes walking past the window, stops dead in his tracks.
No way.
And he's like, Timmy, come here, Timmy. The elf. He moved. I think I saw him fly to. He's telling Timmy this, you know. And so they're losing their minds
right.
because within the past 5 minutes he shifted, And I'm like, and I, they don't even know I was in the house. And I turn around, I'm like, oh, wow, I can't believe it. He totally moved. I didn't even see it. They're just like losing their minds over this thing. And I'm just like, God, I'm such an evil parent lying to my child or my children this way, you know. But it's fun. They get into it. They don't even know that they're being had, but it is what it is.
They're totally into it.
Yeah, the back room, cookies, and the elf, man. So we kind of led up to it. Netflix, the minimalist movie.
Yeah, it's like a documentary, right?
Yeah, it totally is. So the minimalist, less is now. So this is a podcast I listen to, and it's the only podcast I actually pay for. So they have, it's like $2 or, well, they say $2 a week or something. I pay $4 a month on Patreon. And they have a Tuesday episode, which is what they call their minimal episode. And then Thursday's their maximal episode. It's like, you know, I get it. But what they do is they have their, you know, it's like 40 minutes or something on a Tuesday, and then they have like about an hour, hour 20 on a Thursday. And it's the same guests they have, but they just dive deeper. They get into more like intimate type things and
okay.
so on.
And do you get the minimalist for free, and you get the maximal for the Patreon or whatever you do?
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And I should say, I didn't know how it was going to play out, but I listened to them for a long time, and I was always kind of apprehensive because I didn't know if it was like $2 an episode. Does it start now? Do I have access to the past ones? And, you know, so at some point, I don't know where I was along the journey, but at some point I just said, like, screw it. I'll just get it and see what happens. Worst case scenario, I spend $4 or something. I cancel it. Yeah, you get the whole library.
Awesome.
Yeah, you get everything. So yeah, I listened to the ones I wanted to. I binged. It goes back like 5 years or something. I didn't listen to everything, but they give a lot of cool stuff in their Patreon, like exclusive kind of stuff. But anyway, so they've been talking about this now easily for a year, maybe longer, maybe a year and a half, this movie that they're coming out with. And then COVID hits. I was like, at the start of COVID, I thought, you know, I've always kind of had that minimalist mindset, that minimalist lifestyle that I wanted to achieve, this aspiration or something.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, what better time than now to lean up, get yourself healthy, get yourself healthy, get yourself fit, get your finances in order, get your finances lean. Square up your will, your trust.
Right.
You know, now's if not now, when, right? Like
always now is if not, yeah.
Well, okay. If you want to think about the one saying, when's the best time to plant a tree, you know, 50 years ago, when's the next time today, right? So that's kind of where COVID brought me this year. And I thought to myself, like, yeah, we got to get our finances set up. You know, and we've always been good with a lot of things, but we've never been like optimized or dialed in. So the year of COVID really got us dialed in with like a lot of things. You know, we're not finished with everything and nothing's been optimized to the maximum. And obviously we're human. We still have flaws and, you know, some days it's like today's the day to work in, like screw it, I'm sleeping in, you know, I drank too much or whatever. I mean, we're still human, right. You know, but the year of COVID has been the year to like kind of maximize on, you know, to use a pun, I guess, but to maximize on all the getting your house in order, essentially.
You've buckled down. You've taken the opportunity to buckle down.
Yeah. I mean, you had the time to do it. You had the space to do it. You had the incentive to do it because it's like in a number of ways, you're faced with your mortality and such.
Right.
You know, I mean, maybe not you specifically, but you see it around you or
in general. Yeah.
In general, for sure. So then this movie gets announced. I don't know when they announced it officially, but probably in 2019, I would think at some point they announced it. And then as the year goes on, they were talking about it. And of course, COVID hits. And now it's coming through. And I think with where I kind of saw myself and my family and were Clarissa's and all that. And where this is coming out in January here, in just a few weeks when this gets released, on, it's on Netflix. I thought, man, I bet they didn't know going into this project how significant the message would be.
Right. It just resonates.
Yeah, it resonates. I can't wait. And I know you were even like going through your stuff, selling it off on Facebook and whatnot.
Yeah, that when we did the cross-country trip, we came back and we're like, we're going to start it up again. And we just never did. You know, like,
you need to.
We need to. We need to get back out there and do it. And, you know, the things, I just have to find a way to convince Anne that, like, if it didn't sell in like 4 months of like $5 for a toy that was like $25 back in the day, you know, like, we just need to pitch it. Like, we just need to throw it out.
My threshold is $20.
What does that mean?
So in other words, like, you're saying, you're looking at it from a time perspective. How long does it take to sell something for $5? And I look at it as a monetary perspective. Is it worth more than 20 or less than 20?
So wait, everything over 20 you'd sell. Anything under 20 you'd throw out.
Not throw out. I just bring it to Goodwill, right? I donate it, or
that's basically throwing it out.
Well, it depends on what you're donating, you know.
I guess so.
So just as an example, snowboard. I have a snowboard. I mean, I haven't gone snowboarding in, man, like, probably 15 years minimum. It's been a long time. And my snowboard was from like 96, I want to say, 97, somewhere in that range. So you're looking at like almost a 25-year-old snowboard, 24-year-old snowboard, whatever. I don't know what I paid, $250, $300. Bindings, you know, $100. So maybe I'm in $300, $400. I don't even know.
Right.
So I look and it's like stuff a year old is selling for like $80, $100 or something, right? I'm like, a 25-year-old. So I'm like trying to find my snowboard. I mean, I can't get $15 for this.
But it's a perfect. It's vintage. It's vintage. Maybe it's more.
Yeah, right. It's perfectly fine if I want to go. But so then I'm trying, you know, I'm telling Clarissa, because she has her skis and stuff. I'm like, you know what, though? Think about it like this. We haven't gone in 15 years. Let's say we go this winter. Rent it. You're going to have state-of-the-art stuff. It's waxed. It's all set to go. The edges are sharpened.
Right.
Our stuff is like 25 years old. It needs wax. The edges are rusty. You know, it's like, just rent it. You know, it's not like Frank goes 25, 30 days a year.
I know. It's amazing. It makes sense.
It makes sense to we go once every 10 years. You're better off renting it. You get the latest and greatest, right?
Right.
And you can't sell it for anything because nobody wants stuff that old. So just donate it. But yeah, the stuff, man. I like the beginning when it's like stuff.
The beginning of that trailer made me feel a lot like, what is it? The Social Dilemma.
Oh,
you know, okay. It had that stuff gives you the same dopamine hit that, you know, scrolling through your endless scroll gives you.
Oh,
you know, it's
yeah.
like, and it's like, yeah, you're trying to okay. fill a void in yourself, in your id, in your being,
yeah,
with stuff, with social, you know, with social media or with things, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I get it. I mean,
so that was my thing, and Anne and I have this kind of ongoing argument where, you know, the Amazon thing is a little too easy. When he says you can get stuff within 24 hours, I do marvel at the fact that Amazon does not charge, you know, that I pay the Prime, so it's on Prime. But I order something in the morning, and, you know, I was like, what was it the other day? I run in the morning. It was getting cold a couple weeks ago. I was like, maybe I should get some gloves, I said to Anne. So Anne found these gloves, you know, I was out running, and then she said, I put them in the cart, check them out. So at the end of my run, I came inside and I saw those, and my hands are freezing, and I was like, oh, these are great. So I ordered them at, what is it, 7 o'clock in the morning, and by 6 o'clock that evening, they showed up.
Wow.
It's just like, I was like, this is magic. It's literally magic, you know, and it's, you know, I think there's got to be a hub around here. And, you know, I think I was explaining it to a friend, you know, they're like, oh, Amazon's killing the mom and pops. And I was like, no, they're kind of redistributing the mom and pop thing. They're definitely taking a nice hefty cut from mom and pops. but they are also drop shipping. You know, they're taking a whole lot of whatever you sell and they'll put it in their warehouses and distribute it for you. They're all about logistics to me. I think they just have the play.
They're a logistic company.
They're total logistics.
You're right. They're not a tech company. They're a logistic company.
And, you know, and tech serves the logistics. But
well, okay, let me back up really quick in a second. The WPS side.
AWS.
What did I say?
WPS, yeah.
Oh, God, I don't even know what that. That's got to be an acronym for some other tech. For like my router or something.
Yeah. But
the AWS.
The AWS, side, yes.
That's like, okay, sure. That runs the backbone of the internet for half of it, like Netflix. Everybody's running on that thing. But the Amazon retail side, that's pure logistics.
Exactly.
How do we do shipping as quickly as possible to your doorstep?
No. And then just conversely, like, Anne was shopping for some friends and buying some things, and she needed it special from other places, and it wasn't, you couldn't get it through Amazon. And then the soap stuff, like she needed colorant that was in San Diego, and you had to order it from this shop in San Diego, and they don't ship it through, you know, they don't sell through Amazon. So he's like, oh, it'll come USPS. And I'm like, ugh. You know, and she was under the time deadline to get this soap made for last weekend, right?
Right.
So she orders it on a Tuesday, expecting to come in before Friday, you know, because you got it, you know, that was the expected delivery date. And then they let you watch your package go all over California.
USPS.
From USPS. But they're like, all right, it's leaving San Diego, label printed, you know, Tuesday, leaves on Wednesday. And then it goes, and then she's like, now it's in San Francisco. Like, what's going on? Why did it bypass us and go up to San Francisco? And then it came down and it hit like, Ontario. And then it went over to Nevada. And we're like, what is it doing in Las Vegas? You know, it went all over creation. I said, that's because you didn't order from Amazon. And USPS is, you know, losing their lunch to Amazon because Amazon knows, like, they switch from truck to truck. They have inter-truck deliveries. I don't know. Have you seen? You probably don't see it because you're not as densely populated as we are here.
Well, maybe I've seen where trucks.
Have you seen trucks handed to other trucks, and they're constantly like?
I see FedEx trucks pull up in the parking lot around the corner from us, and all these FedEx trucks converge.
Okay,
and they're all like shifting packages,
there you go, yeah.
And then they all disperse.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's necessarily Amazon.
I think that's the same thing, but they do it here. On every other street, you would see two Amazon trucks back to back, and they're like shifting packages.
Are they labeled Amazon?
They're Amazon. Amazon with a big smile on it, everything. It's all the Sprinter trucks.
Oh, see, we don't. I have never seen an Amazon Sprinter van.
Really? Yeah. So they're all over here.
Because here it's all. Oh, wow. That's interesting.
That's how we get the same day delivery, because they're like, they are handling every part of the chain to us here in Los Angeles. But anyway, so yeah, so things, yeah, and I'm just like, so because it's so magical, I'm like, oh, kids, you want that? Like, it's pandemic. I don't have to go anywhere. I just order it on the phone. She goes, stop buying them stuff. Just because they want something and you can get it for them doesn't mean you have to buy it for them. And I was like, that is true. And then what did Audrey say today? Audrey said, she said something about Prime membership. And she was like, well, I don't know anybody that doesn't. She's like, She said, oh, you could order stuff from Amazon and not have Prime? She's like, why wouldn't you have Prime? And I was like, wow, you're a little privileged there. You know what I mean?
Just tell her the Van Curas don't have Prime.
I did. And she was like, why? What's wrong? And I was like, nothing's wrong. He wanted a little more friction on his delivery of the stuff to his house, you know?
No, you know, and the funny thing is, the way you're describing that is how it was over here for like ever. It was like, oh, this thing, blah, 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 boop. All right. it magically appears, like you said.
Right.
And then I told Clarissa, I said, look, we haven't watched anything on Prime for a little while. And there, don't get me wrong. There's things like today I was looking at a movie I wanted to see. It was on Prime. They won't even let you rent it.
Wow.
So, but it's on Vimeo as well for a couple bucks. So I was like, maybe we'll do that. But it was one of those things where we just didn't need to have it so easy just to click yes. And the one thing, though, is, and you know, my heart bleeds for Anne because, you know, I blew out the gauge on my floor pump for my bike,
right?
So I went to pump up a tire the other day, and the gauge just blows up, and it was just over, and it just stopped working. And so I said, oh, I need a gauge. You know, I do a lot of stuff in eBay and everything, and I pretty much find the same things that Amazon has on eBay. The prices tend to be slightly better.
Oh, okay.
And the shipping is also free. However, instead of like shows up at 6 o'clock at night or the next day, it's like a week and a half or a week or something, right? So the shipping, though it's free, does take quite a bit longer. I've watched things, you know, it's like Ontario, California.
Right.
I have no idea why, but it's gone all the way to Philadelphia.
Yeah. Why do they do that?
To Miami, through Austin, Phoenix, and then back to me. And I'm thinking to myself, USPS is losing their ass,
right?
You know, for whatever it is. Why on earth are you sending this thing from
all over the world?
I live in Lompoc, California. If I were going to drive myself to Ontario, it might be about 4 hours if I'm just going to beeline it there, right? I get down to Reseda, that's 2, and then like I shoot over Ontario, that's another
hour and a half,
and then figure some traffic, it's like 4.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, yeah.
Why does it go to the East Coast? And then it shoots south to Miami? As far south as?
Your packages just wanted to see America before it got to you, you know?
And I'm thinking, okay, it took 10 days to get here. Like, I get it. The thing weighs 7 ounces, but it still takes energy in the form of petroleum that must be drilled in a foreign country that gets shipped over here, and we fight wars to get this petroleum, and you're squandering it and sending my package all across hell's half acre. I don't understand why USPS does that, man. So, and that's why I think Amazon eats their lunch.
Totally.
You know, but anyway,
sorry, that was a way off the minimalist thing.
No, but I think I think it's right on point, though. I think it's, it's part of it because all this stuff we're getting, I don't know, like, perfect example. I needed a pair of jeans. I was down to one pair of jeans. Mm-hmm. I wore all my jeans out, holes in the knees and all this. Yeah. And I'm like, I can't go to work with I'm like a hobo.
They're not fashion holes. They're like function. They're like worn holes.
Like I always tell kids, I'm like, if you really want those holes to be real, I got a lot of yard work for you. I'll make those holes. Don't worry. So I went to look for jeans before I ordered them. I said, you know what? I'm making a donation to Goodwill. I'm going to stop and just see what kind of jeans they have.
Right.
None for me. So Clarissa gives me her sizes. I find 2 pairs of jeans, her exact size,
right,
exactly what she's looking for, the same Levi's, the same model number, like whatever the model, you know how they have different model
numbers? Right, 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 right.
Everything identical, $6. I said, okay, I get them. These things were brand new.
Yeah.
So I bring them home. I said, Clarissa, what do you think? She tries them on. They fit her better than any pair of jeans she ever bought in her life. These things, she looks amazing in them. They fit her great. And she said, wow, these are fantastic. I said, why do you think people are getting rid of all these jeans and stuff? She said, you know, people just, they gain weight. They just don't, they can't fit into them anymore. I said, it's amazing. You know, so she puts them on and stuff. But it's, what I'm getting at is for $12, we get 2 pairs of jeans that she needed. I still had to order mine. I think I got from Kohl's or whatever. But, but the point I'm getting at is there are good deals to be had locally, if you just take the few minutes to go,
right,
and you'll save yourself $40-$50 or more, you know,
especially down here in LA, like we love the thrift store, you know.
Oh, and you told me the one place, what's it called?
The one, it's called, what is it, Out of the Closet? No, it's like wardrobe.
Yes.
What is it called?
No, it's something closet. Because you told me about it before, where you were wearing like
I was wearing Michael Douglas's sweater and stuff.
Suit? Sweater. No,
his dress shirt from the Wasp, the Ant-Man and the Wasp.
That's what it is. That's amazing.
And then, but even just regular, if you go to Woodland Hills and go to the thrift store, like you're gonna find like $100, $200 jeans for like $10.
Oh, it's amazing.
You know, so jeans are definitely a good solid item in thrift store shopping.
All right, man. I think talking about our stuff. So really quick, I just wanted to. So I'm not a New Year's resolution guy.
Right.
This coming year, assuming COVID comes to an end and all that kind of stuff, right? You know, as far as like where we are right now with the current COVID.
Right.
I told Clarissa, I said, this coming year, and we never do New Year's resolution, but I told her, I said, let's do a New Year's resolution. Let's not buy anything new. I said, there's two exceptions. If something breaks and it's necessary, then, you know, like, for example, I'm sitting here talking.
Oh, that's a loophole. I'm finding loopholes in that. I can make anything necessary.
I have two loopholes. If something breaks and it's necessary, I'm talking to you right now on the computer and everything. While I'm talking to you, the computer completely like just goes up in a poof of smoke.
Oh, God, knock on wood, please.
Yeah, exactly. I need a computer. Okay, I'm going to buy a new computer and maybe I'll get a refurb or something. That's one loophole. The second loophole is safety.
Okay.
Like this past year, I got Clarissa these blinky Christmas lights that these LED blink. They were like $6 or $5. They weren't much, but they, you know, I wrap them around her bike and her rack and all this stuff. Let's assume there's something along those lines where I need something safety wise that I don't know I need, but it's like, oh, wow, that's probably a good thing to have so we don't get killed on the road while riding our bikes. Safety is definitely a loophole.
Uh-huh.
And replacing items that are necessary are a loophole. So, for example, I break a glass. The glass doesn't need to be replaced because I have enough glasses.
Right.
That's not a necessary item. My phone breaks for some reason. Screen cracks, drop it in the toilet. It just stops working. You're not going to go without a phone. But that doesn't mean I buy the ultimate $1,200 state-of-the-art high-end iPhone, whatever. Maybe I get like the used, I don't know, iPhone. Well, I have an iPhone 8, but.
You have an 8 still?
What do you mean still? It does what I need to do. But maybe I get it. What is the one, XR or something? Or I don't even know.
Oh, right. Well, now you could just get the 11 SE or something like that. You know.
Yeah, the SE or right. Something. Right.
Gotcha.
You know, I get it used or something. But anyway, that's the New Year's resolution we have is nothing. We're not buying anything unnecessary, unneeded, or new. We're going to buy used and refurbed if we have to. Safety is always a thing we're going to do. Yeah, that's where we are with it.
Awesome.
All right, man. Netflix number two tonight. Yes. Outside the Wire. Speaking of tech.
I know. So what do you think?
RoboCop?
Robo-soldier? The ultimate soldier? What is it? The universal soldier kind of thing?
It's like pre-Terminator. Oh, Universal Soldier.
Yeah, something like that, you know?
But it's also like the military's version of RoboCop.
Yes.
Unless the guy doesn't die first or something. The title gives you the impression it's mid-2000s Iraq.
Yes.
Right, outside the wire. You think like, oh, wow, it's Iraq.
Well, no, actually, what I thought, because when I saw it, I only saw the title.
Yeah.
And I thought that it was a sequel or a prequel to HBO's famous series, The Wire.
Oh.
And then in the.
See, I thought military, because when I was in the Army, we would do stuff outside the wire.
What's that? So, what's the term in the military? What's it stand for?
Okay, so you have concertina wire.
Mm-hmm.
And the concertina wire essentially, there's other things too. They have like the concrete barriers.
Right,
and such,
the Jersey walls.
You've seen that spiral, like
barbed wire yeah.
That's like. But it's big, though.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
It's like, I don't know what it is, 3 foot diameter or something?
Yeah, it's like a slinky fence, a razor slinky fence, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like a razor wire. And so you would put that stuff out there, and like inside the wires where you're safe, outside the wires where like the combat zone would be.
Okay, I got you.
So outside the wire is saying like you're not in cantonment, right? Cantonment is like where your bed is.
Ah, okay.
Where your dining facility is, right? You know? And so when you go outside the wire, it's like you're free reign to be shot at.
I see.
And to shoot people.
It right? goes both ways.
It goes both ways.
What did you think about the little robots in this? The little robot warriors that are robot soldiers that are alongside of him?
In some regard, I'm not surprised.
Uh-huh.
Meaning, I could see a future military of having those sorts of things.
Right. What's your gauge on how far off are we from this?
Well, my gauge is it's not going to happen.
Okay.
So, and the reason I don't think it's going to happen is because I think we're going to come into an energy crunch at some point. And, you know, everything takes oil. So when you think about it in those terms, like you have the factory that makes the robot, right?
Right.
But then you have the factory that makes the machines that make the robot. And then you have the factory that makes the parts that makes the machine, you know, so it all like kind of backlogs itself all the way down the chain to the point that you need like cheap energy to make all this stuff. And I don't think energy is going to be really, I'm not talking about like 5 years or 10 years, you know, are these things possible?
Right.
I think DARPA and stuff is working on it. I think, you know, they're looking at making these things.
I mean, Boston Dynamic has the machines already.
Boston Dynamic, yeah, totally. You look at the mule and all the things that they have. But I think ultimately, though, 20, 30, 40 years from now, I just don't think we're going to have the energy, the cheap energy. I think the energy will be there. And maybe the government will subsidize it to the point where they do make it. And they just somehow they manufacture the stuff. But I just don't see how this stuff's going to come about in an economy at that point when the technology coalesces with the economy to where this stuff's viable. I think we're going to just run out of the energy by the time this stuff happens. I don't mean the energy. I mean the cheap energy.
Right.
$3 gas, you know, in 40 years.
Exactly. It's the cost, right? It's the offset, right? Like,
yeah. So another way to think about it is if you look at the Sierra and gold mines,
mm-hmm.
there's still a ton of gold in the Sierra. You might get $1 million of gold out of a mine. But if it costs you $5 million to mine it, yeah, nobody's mining that gold. It's too expensive.
It's locked in. Yeah, right.
Right. And that's where I see this kind of stuff happening. Like, is it possible? Do we have the technology and stuff? Maybe not yet, but I think we're well on our way. I just don't think the cheap energy in the economy is going to lead us to the point where this stuff's possible.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing with Star Trek, right? Where are, or even Star Wars,
right?
Where are you getting the materials, the raw materials and the energy to manufacture all this stuff? Yeah. Star Trek technology wise could happen, but where do you get how do you build it all? It's not going to happen on an economic side of things, I don't think.
Well, I think that was the cool, that's kind of like not the cool thing, but that's the plausible thing about Star Wars is that it was always about plundering.
They go planet to planet.
They plunder planets and they enslave whole planets full of people. You know what I mean? They basically just become overlords and just enslave people, take all their resources. And it is a...
to build the empire further.
Exactly. And, when you think of The Sun Never Set on Union Jack, that's the same exact theory that they worked on. You know, we go somewhere, there are savages there, and we just enslave the people and take all their resources, and they wouldn't have known what to do with it anyway. So we're better using their stuff.
Yeah, no, that just to finish up that thought.
Yeah.
If you ever read the book Confessions of an Economic Hitman, I think that's the premise of that book. And the author of that, he was an economic hitman. And what he would do is he would go to places like Ecuador, for example, and find that they had natural resources that multinational corporations needed to make, you know, computers and cars and, you know, spaceships or whatever the heck they make.
Right.
And what they would do is they would say, like, okay, we're going to help you. We're going to use the World Bank, and we're going to finance through the World Bank the mines and the dams and the ports, and we're going to build all this stuff, and you're going to become extremely wealthy, like it's a country like Ecuador. And then once all that stuff was extracted from their landscape, then everybody would leave Ecuador with like billions in debt that they could never possibly pay back.
Right.
And their people would be just left in squalor.
Devastated,
you know?
Yeah.
Devastated, yeah. So that's kind of the same thing, but instead of on an interplanetary basis, it's like on an intraplanetary basis? I don't know.
I just say Earth-based. The world, yeah, world.
Some grammar Nazi is going to get me on that.
Well, you know, here's the interesting about this trailer. I love the fact now that Netflix is getting some wind under their sails. You know this because they have a legacy card, and you know they don't usually do legacy cards. And to talk about, you know, now we know what big successes of Netflix.
Old Garden Extraction
were successes for them, and you know, I definitely love Extraction.
Both awesome movies.
Yeah, they're great movies. You know, it's action packed. So I think this is doing exactly what your typical legacy cell would do, and they're trying to, you know, bolster their offerings as they go into the future. So
yeah, and the Old Guard has a sequel coming out because the woman was in the prison under the ocean or whatever.
Yeah.
And then she comes out at the end because she got revived somehow or whatever, because they can't die.
So looking forward to that one. But let's switch to another sequel of sorts.
Okay.
What do you think about The Bad Batch?
Star Wars, The Bad Batch on Disney Plus.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, looking at... Well, and this will get into what we're watching too, but
yeah,
this takes place, what, after the Clone Wars, I guess? Is that what it is, or?
Yeah, I mean, this logo seems to suggest that it will burn off the Clone Wars, and this is the Bad Batch, and maybe there's a little bit of time splicing here, because I think we were introduced to the Bad Batch in the Clone Wars.
Who is the Bad Batch? The Stormtroopers?
It's that one pod of Stormtroopers with Cody. You know, they all have their helmets off, and it's that the main guy who kind of helps.
That's what I meant, actually.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah, so they're the Bad Batch, but it's basically a rogue set of Stormtroopers that operates closer to the Jedi than most, right?
I mean, I'm definitely going to watch. The kids are going to watch. What I'm finding is, and when we get to what we're watching, what I'm finding is the more Star Wars that comes out, movies, animation, TV shows, we're going to talk about the Boba Fett story coming out.
The Book of Boba Fett.
The Book of Boba Fett, right. No, but the more that comes out with all the movies, the animation, the TV shows, or, well, streaming shows, whatever. And, I mean, there's more and more and more and more. And with all of the Star Wars stuff that comes out, like, I get lost in where in the chronology that all this stuff lands.
Right.
And Star Wars The Bad Batch, the trailer looks great and everything, but jumping ahead to The Mandalorian, if that's okay.
Let's do it. I'm so excited about The Mandalorian sees the finale.
Oh, I can't wait. What blew me away was it takes place right after the whole series, the whole Mandalorian series takes place right after the Endor battle.
Right. Return of the Jedi. Yeah.
Return of the Jedi. And you don't realize it. And there's spoilers. We're going to say it right now. If anybody doesn't want to hear spoilers, man, just turn us off. Come back later after you watch it. But
if you haven't watched it by Thursday and it came out on Friday, you know what I mean, a week ago, come on, guys.
Yeah, we're spoiling this all up and down. But when Luke Skywalker comes out and he's a young Luke Skywalker.
Yes.
And you're like, the heck is he young for? He's supposed to be old. Because the way you watch it linearly,
right.
He is old. But if you watch it in chronology of how they're making it, I don't even know what you would call that, but it takes place right after that. And the funny thing is, when
the X-Wing,
yeah, Gina, whatever her name is, the woman who, the pro wrestler,
right,
woman who has the tattoo in her,
right,
eye, when she's like, alone X-Wing, what's that gonna do? Timmy called it. He goes, that's Luke. Immediately.
That's awesome.
I'm like, what?
Yeah, we waited for the green saber to call it for Luke.
No, so he said, that's Luke. And then the green saber, and he's still going, right?
Right, right.
And then when they pulled out the black hand,
uh-huh,
the gloved hand, you know, I said, oh, a leather hand.
Yes.
And then they showed the other hand that didn't have a glove.
Ungloved.
I was like, okay, it's Luke. And I was expecting an old Luke.
Right, right.
Because I didn't know when the canon all this fell.
Right.
And the fact it was a young Luke who had the Return of the Jedi Luke, not the Star Wars Luke.
Right.
The New Hope Luke. I was like, damn, man, this is amazing.
Well, it's the perfect bookend to my favorite Star Wars movie. I'm pointing to...
Rogue One's really your favorite?
Rogue One is 100% my favorite movie.
More than the original?
More than the originals.
Oh my God, I can't... Okay, I'll have to watch Rogue One again then.
Watch Rogue One again.
Is that the one where they're on the tropical island?
Yeah, look, they're on the beach. Look, Scarif. Scarif is the Imperial data planet. It basically is the Library of Congress of the Empire. All
right. Why do you like that one so much?
I like it because, you know, it is the birthplace of hope. You know, it is the origin story of the hope that is A New Hope. It is the first paragraph of the crawl in A New Hope, you know? It's this preamble to the trilogy that is iconic unto itself. But the way that they made this movie is that it's a movie that's completely separated by it. It's completely separated from the first trilogy saga of Skywalker, right? Because this is, you know,
yeah,
Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi is Luke's saga of growing up, you know, like him becoming the Jedi.
Sure.
And this leads into it perfectly when they talk about their, you know, the rebellion has had a victory. You know, this is the victory that they're talking about.
Was this the one where Leia was on her
yes,
ship right as Darth Vader's coming,
yes,
through the door or whatever?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
So the opening scene of Star Wars, and I'm pointing all over the room because I have the posters up around me, but the opening scene of Star Wars is the last scene of
Rogue One.
Of Rogue One. And the way Rogue One plays out, it has Darth Vader kicking ass for the last 10 minutes of this movie.
That's right.
Like you've never seen him kick ass before, right? Like he's force pushing all the rebels, you know, and then he's getting going through the ship, and he's just going through, and he's laying waste to all these people. And even though he's the villain and we know him as the iconic villain, he's in this heyday where you understand how badass he was, you know? And Mandalorian, at the end of this 16 episode saga, it gives Luke the same exact play.
Just ripping through the robots.
He does. He rips through all those dark troopers and he just lays waste to them getting to the bridge. At the end of this movie, you end with the deep fake of Leia, you know, because Leia's like, you know, she's thanking them for getting it to them. You know, what did they give
you?
Well,
Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, and it's Carrie Fisher's deep fake, right? So now, you know, we have deep fake Luke Skywalker. And my big thing was, like, I didn't know it was pretty well wrapped secret. But I waited for the credits because I was like, I hope.
They said Mark Hamill.
I hope that they credit Mark Hamill. You know, he's still.
Isn't that wild?
And I was like, I wonder if he's it. I wonder if he stood there and he did the things, because it is a deep fake, you know, deep fake Mark Hamill. And that's, I was screaming and crying and I was like, it's deep fake Mark Hamill, you know? And then Anne got on Instagram immediately and she's like looking through Mark Hamill's feed because he's very, you know, he's prolific on Instagram. And it's actually a picture of Mark Hamill giving the shush sign. So basically he's telling his whole audience to like, don't spoil it for everyone by keeping it quiet. But it's Mark Hamill like today. It's, you know, it's the older, more stately Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
So did they put him in a suit? Was he there? Did he do some of the moves, you know?
He must have, though, because...
He did something, right?
You're not going to credit his likeness. You're going to credit the person who's acting. I mean, he's obviously getting paid for this. He's doing, you know, he's making his salary, whatever that is, you know? And yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think he had to have been there, and maybe they'll come out with the season two making of.
Right. Right. Oh, right. Yeah. That gallery series is going to be great.
The gallery, that would be cool because I'd like to see that just for that alone.
Yeah. And then, oh my God, and we would get a Robert Rodriguez in the gallery series because he did that awesome battle with Boba Fett a couple episodes ago.
It's safe to say this is the Mandalorian is over and will not come back.
That's what I thought too, but I feel like maybe there's other stories for the Mandalorian to play, but he doesn't have to do it. I think Disney Plus, and this is of course no insider information, but I think Disney Plus is finding their sweet spot on how to build the legacy. Do we, you know, they take the blueprint of Marvel, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and they make a Star Wars extended universe. And then you take the stories of Mandalorian, which is, you know, it's part of the canon. And God, don't get Bryce started on canon, because then it's like, just shut up because I want to watch this actual show. Like, if you say anything about canon, and he goes, and then he puts, you know, it's like, well, you know, if you talk about like this, and I'm like, oh, just let's watch this and enjoy like the now of this. Let's not worry about the canon and the legacy
where
and all that
fits.
Stuff. But what it does at the end is it, by putting you back on Tatooine, and you have Bib Fortuna. He was one of my favorite favorite mini characters that I had back in the day.
I always love his name though, Bib Fortuna.
Yeah, Bib Fortuna. It's such a great, great name. And I still remember putting his little sticker, because you know, you have the little case. It's a Darth Vader head that was the case, and you have like all your characters, and they gave you stickers for all the names of all the characters, so they each had their own slot.
Stickers and the names.
You didn't have that? I'll send you a picture of it. We'll put it in there.
Maybe I'll know when I see it.
You'll know when you see it, yeah. So Bib Fortuna at the end, and then you're like, this is post Return of the Jedi, and it's, you know, and Boba Fett gets to take his reign of the boss of Tatooine, and we'll see what becomes of that. And it announces another series that they did not talk about in the investor day. So I sat through a 4-hour meeting and they didn't talk about this episode, this schmovie.
Schmovie. It comes out December 2021. Do you think that's the reason they didn't? Or do you think...
No, because they talked about Andor, and Andor doesn't come out till 2022.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, never mind then what I was going to say. I mean, you know, I was thinking along the lines of next year. When did that meeting come out? Like end of November?
No. The meeting was December 10th. It was last week.
Okay, yeah. December 10th. So, you know, it comes out after next year's December 10th.
Right.
So maybe that's why they didn't. But like you said, Andor's 2022. So.
No, but I think it was, I'm sure it was, you know, we always talk about in movies how you don't know what the discussions were behind the doors and in the closed rooms. But you had to think that there was an executive committee And, you know, they're like, they have the slate of all the things that they're releasing. And, you know, I guess I've seen that when I used to work in partnership marketing. And you'd have the slate, and a lot of stuff is like hidden, like you can't, you know, embargoed, they call it. And if it's something that's coming up soon, so even though that's not till 2021, but the reveal of it is in 2 weeks. So then you think, oh, okay, it's the 10th is when this is releases. Then we don't want to spoil anything for the 16th or whatever, the 18th or whatever today is, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that, that it's a nice way.
They didn't want to spoil the end of The Mandalorian.
Right. We have enough other stuff to talk about in 4 hours of clips and executives talking that we don't need to spoil this one too. But
well, and think about that though. It's like, you know, at the end of that meeting, everybody walks away like, oh, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
A week later, everyone's minds are more blown. Like,
more. There's more stuff.
What? Boba Fett, the Book of Boba. You know?
And I think so. The whole idea of schmovies was coined by the Robin Hood snacks guys.
I just love the name.
Yeah, right. So they said it's not a show, it's not a movie. Let's spend. It's a schmovie, right? And I was like,
it's a hybrid.
And I had to put on my own hat, and I was like, you know, Nick and Jack, it's actually not. It's actually called the limited series, and there is a name for it, but we don't have to talk about that right now because you've combined show and movie so eloquently that we'll just stick with schmovie.
Yeah, it's a hybrid, right? It's amazing.
So, you know, if they'll fine-tune this, if the Book of Boba Fett is like a limited series and it's 10 episodes, you're in, you're out. You know, if it does well, maybe you do another one, maybe you don't. You know, I think Mandalorian was set up to end if you wanted it to. But Mando can go on other adventures. You know, him and Bo-Katan? Boca Raton, what's her name?
Boca Raton. Yeah, she's in Florida. Yeah. Florida. Yeah. No.
They could have a whole storyline, you know?
And what I like about it too is it's the Book of Boba.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about it, just what you were saying, it's a limited series. I mean, a book is a book.
Yeah.
Right? When you finish the book is over. And, you know, if you want another book, you come out with another book. But for right now, they could set it up going into it that this is the only thing they have going, which I think from, you know, a marketing point of view and everything is brilliant because there's no expectation it's going to go any further.
And you have Jon Favreau at the helm of this as the, you know, the overarching director, producer with Dave Filoni as the creative lead. But to have Jon Favreau in there, who basically kicked off Iron Man, and he did the beginning of the Marvel Cinematic Universe with Kevin Feige. You know, he learned from Kevin Feige how to do that over the course of all the four phases. So he's got the blueprints on how to expand.
So you're looking at the various phases.
Yeah, he has the blueprints on how to expand this. And they, like I said before, they're no longer bound to the 52 weeks of the calendar year. You know, it was like we have to limit ourselves to two tentpole Star Wars movies every year because we got to fit in, you know, three Marvel movies, two Pixar movies, and like three Disney animated movies, you know? So that doesn't leave weeks for everybody else to promote, you know, to have their movies. But in a digital streaming world, we don't have to worry about the number of weeks in a calendar year. We can just release schmovies and put them out once a month. And we have our own streaming service, and we connect with our own customers, and we provide them, you know, content directly. So it's a great place to be.
Yeah. And I think that's what I love too about streaming is just put it out there. The people who are into it are going to find it. They're going to watch it. They're going to be fans. The more you put out, the more people are going to binge. It's just, there's this plethora of content in an infinite time universe, really.
Right.
I mean, that's really what it boils down to, is because the streaming world makes time irrelevant.
Yep. Removes time from the equation. Removes the calendar from the equation.
Getting back to the final episode,
yes,
though, one of the things that I think again, bookended it and brought it full circle. And what I really enjoyed was when Luke showed up, the music transitioned from what I would call your kind of standard Mandalorian music, the flute playing or whatever that is. And once Luke was there, it was back to a very John Williams-sounding soundtrack. The music changed.
Right.
And it had that orchestral French horns blowing.
Right, right, right.
And, you know, it was very Star Wars-esque in the sense of how John Williams would have conducted it. And the credits were so enormous while we were waiting for the end that, I couldn't get over how great the music was. And Tim said, where's, you know, because they always have the concept art at the end. And the boys were really disappointed there was no concept art. And I said,
yeah, I was disappointed too.
And I said, how much time is left? You know, because I thought it was just the credits. And when I saw like 7 minutes left on the credits, I'm like, all right, we're going to hang on. Something's coming, you know? And they're like, how do you know? And I said, there's too much time to just have, like, here's the producer, the director, the grips, and all
right.
This stuff. So we watched it to the end, of course, and we saw the Jabba's Palace. And
you saw the trailer to the original trailer to the Book of Boba Fett.
That's a true trailer. Right?
Yeah. Well, we have our secondary producer here, and I know you're getting it too. But yes, so courtesy of Anne, Jeremy Bullock, the original British actor who played Boba Fett, passed away on Thursday, the day before this aired. So, you know, just another thing, you know, we talked about,
about
death, and he passed away peacefully in his sleep, surrounded by family and friends. But
how old was he?
75 years old.
What? He was that old?
Yeah, Parkinson's, I guess.
That's not that old, but, oh, wow, man. Talk about, like, on the show news. Jeez.
Yeah.
That's incredible, man. Ugh. God, that's like heartbreaking.
Let's hope he got to see it before, but maybe not.
I'm sure he did. It's not like they're going to be like, no, you got to wait till it's coming out, on Friday.
What else did you watch? Or do you have anything else to close up on Mando?
More episodes of Nightfall, more trudging through Clone Wars. But yeah, that's it.
That's it. We took the nightly movies out of the kids' repertoire for this last week of school, just because it was becoming too much media for the kids during the week. So we went back to a no media night Sunday through Thursday.
Probably a good thing.
Always a good thing, you know, re-racking it for the new coming year. So the things we watched, Anne and I are still watching West Wing, so plugging through that. But the interesting thing was on Netflix, when you turn on Netflix, when it opens up in the episode, you know, at the top it says, you know, warning, it has language and smoking and whatever, right? Now on top of Netflix, it says, watch on Netflix until December 24th. And I was like, oh my God, Anne, we are nowhere near the end of this thing. We're like halfway through. What's going to happen on the 24th? You know, I was like, we need to step it up. We need to watch like two episodes a night. We need to knock this stuff out. So we started knocking it out like two episodes a night.
Well, what was going to stop? West Wing was going to
West
stop?
Wing. And so it's coming off of Netflix on Christmas Eve. So it's like, oh, we got to plow through this, you know, let's figure out a plan, make a plan, you know? And, we started to make a plan, but then I was working one day and she texted me and she goes, oh, we're fine. It's moving to HBO Max. So on Christmas Day, HBO Max gets all of the West Wings over. And then we just have to remember what episode we were on when we stopped watching.
There you go. So have you seen Vice Principals?
No. Is that good?
Dude, it's insane.
And that's on HBO. So I could get that on HBO Max. The other thing I'm watching on HBO Max, and I think I've been said this before, is Veep. And I made the mistake of showing part of an episode to Anne, and just Anne's sensibilities and her kind of, you know, properness. Veep is one of the most vulgar shows in television.
That's amazing.
They had one of the main characters is having an abortion, And
what?
And her sister shows up, and she breaks into their conference room where she's like sitting at a conference room table, and their sister yells, "Abortion mobile here! Come on, mount up!"
Just
you know,
crass.
I was like, "Oh, crass is the word for it." So you know, not Anne's cup of tea. I let her watch 5 minutes of an episode while we're making soap. I was like, "I'm going to turn this off because I don't want to."
While we're making soap. In the valley.
Making soap in the valley. And then the only movie we did see with the kids, because Thursday night was the last school night, last day of school, so it wasn't a school night. I let them watch Safety, which was a movie on Disney Plus.
Safety?
Yeah. And it's about a Clemson, it's a real life story about a Clemson football player who had to take his brother in at 10 or 11 years old. And bring him to Clemson with him and raise him as his, you know, as a guardian. And it's a lovely, touching story about, you know, responsibility and the family. And the whole time through that, she was like, you know, Audrey was like, "Do they really do that in college?" And I was like, some colleges are a little bit like that. And then at the end, it was like, yeah, you know, some football colleges are really into their college football. You know, it's a little bit like a cult. So Clemson football is definitely cultish, and they have the trophies to know that they are a cult of boosters and all that. But it was funny to hear the NCAA discussions about like exemptions and stuff, because NCAA is in the news now because they're having to look at the way that they're going to eventually have to pay.
Well, they're at the Supreme Court now.
Yeah. And I think they should figure out a good baseline to pay the athletes.
Yeah. I mean, you have guys, you know, making colleges millions of dollars in TV contracts and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of these players will never go to the NFL. Or if they do, maybe they play a year or two.
Right.
But they're going to have a lifetime of disabilities.
Right.
Knee problems, hip problems, brain problems, whatever they have. So they got to be compensated some way.
Right.
You know, and it's not always about just, you know, a scholarship.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that's just not enough, you know? I mean, depending on what they're doing.
And I think for me, it was good to show it to my children. I mean, every kid and every person, you know, you take your own experience and you think, oh, I have it rough in this way or that way. And, you know, COVID's not easy. COVID's not a bag of, you know, roses for anybody. But I'm like, but we have, you know, roof overhead. We have food to eat. You have a family together. And for what it's worth, it's not as bad, you know, like don't cry yourself to sleep, kids. But this was a little bit, hopefully, eye-opening for them and, you know, and in the softest way possible, you know. And I think that's the brand offering that Disney Plus gives you. Like, you could have the drug-addicted mother who has to go into rehab for a long time, and you could handle that one way or you could handle it another way. And there's like there's a drug den scene, and it's like, it's a Disney Plus drug den scene. So it's like, oh, we're completely fine. I don't have any worries about showing this to my 11-year-old, you know?
Yeah. A Disney drug scene. Like, what does that even look like?
Well, there's no drugs at all in the scene. A guy walks out of a back room, no smoke, no nothing. He just walks out of a back room, and there's a little bit of tension in the music, and there's a couple
opium is implied.
There's a couple of thugs around, and then a lady walks out fully clothed behind him, and you know, other things are implied, but you know, it's all implied and very, very easy.
Mom and dad know, yeah. Kids don't.
Exactly.
It's amazing. All right, man. Sounds good.
Couple weeks, right? We're going to...
Yeah, we'll have a couple weeks. I mean, Christmas...
Yeah, New Year's.
...is coming up. We're not, you know, we're going to take a little break. New Year's. And then we're going to come back. Probably have my cousin Frank Monaco on again.
Awesome.
And he'll give us the lowdown on Warner Brothers and kind of what they're doing. To the extent he could talk about, of course. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's what we'll be. So
I think we have some guests to line up. I think 2021 we'll start racking up some guests. We'll try to get back into that.
Cool. I mean, I would say the past nine-ish, well, COVID-ish, right?
Right.
It's been a dry spell with guests. We've had a few here and there. I mean, nothing major, but we were going gangbusters with guests for a while, and then all of a sudden they all just kind of fell off, and it was like back to me and you again.
Which I enjoy almost as much as I enjoyed this desert sun to the last drop. I was savoring it here to get it a little warm. I wanted to try it warm. So,
well, my beer is over. Again, good to the last drop.
Yes.
Yeah, I look forward to whatever beers you're sending my way. So,
It's going to be so good. I can't wait. I can't wait.
Oh, jeez. I can't wait either. So, and then when you guys make your way up here at some point in the hopefully not too distant future, we'll get over to the back room and do some of that stuff too. So,
once we get our two doses of shots and we're all feeling good about herd immunity on the rise, I'm feeling good for summer 2021.
I hope so. I mean, summer 2021, that's like, what, say 6 to 8 months from now.
Oh, my God. Please let it be.
If we're not good in 6 to 8 months from now, like, oh, man. I mean, like,
come on, America. Wear a mask. Get the shots. Let's get this going.
We're in, like, serious trouble if we're not good for 6 months or in 6 months. Well, jeez. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to think otherwise, but we'll just have to wait and find out.
There we go.
But yeah, anyway, the vaccine's running around now, and Clarissa, I think, is about 3 weeks out from getting it.
Oh, that's right, because she's in that high risk, or not high risk, but in the healthcare.
Well, high exposure, yeah. So I think she's in about, I think it's running through her facility now.
What does that mean for you guys, though, as family members? Do you guys get covered in that same? Do you guys get hit in the same? It's not for the kids, because it's not anyone under 16, I don't think, right? Or something like that.
So what you mean is, if she gets it, do I get it? I don't think so. I think just because, like,
just her.
If she's vaccinated and can't get it, and then, like, let's say I get it.
Oh, that's the barrier. That's the barrier. Then you get it. You can't transmit it to her.
They don't care about me. They just care about bringing it to her workplace.
Right. I get you now.
Screw your husband. All right, man. Let's get out of here.
All right. Talk to you later. Have a good year.
You too. All right, Ted. Later.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.